So I was asked by the Brullers to do a talk on working together as elders. I must admit, I was rather loath to do that for a number of reasons. One is recognizing my own insufficiencies, but the Brothers encouraged me to do it, so here I am. There's a couple of things I want to say by way of introduction. The first is to thank the Brothers and Sisters at Durham here for their welcome and the warmth and the kindness that they've shown. And I want to particularly mention their kindness to my daughter, Rachel, who's now a member here. And it's been wonderful for Audrey and I to see prayer answered and the love that's been shown to her. So I want to just recognise that. I have spoken to Phil, but I want to say it publicly as well. So I've got about 40 slides, so I'm going to walk through this fairly quickly. But I'm also happy to take a question or two along the way. So if you have something you think it'll be helpful, please feel free to ask. This is the distillation of the Lord's blessing to me over a lot of years and my attendance of 7 different churches. I think I've left all of them, by the way, with good relationships. The Lord has moved me around a bit with my job, as you might guess from my accent. And I've attended 4 Presbyterian churches, 3 different denominations, 2 Baptist churches and 1 independent church, so I've got a reasonable breadth of church, and sometimes when I talk about issues, I'm not going to say where I saw them. I think it'd be wise not to. Anyway, it's great to be here. And when I was asked to do this talk, this is me, by the way, when I was slightly slimmer. How should we see our role as elders? And I sort of scratched my head and thought, well, obviously we need to look at Scripture, don't we? So here's some scripture passages that spoke to me. I think you can see a common theme in them, probably. How brothers describe themselves. I used to work in business, and you had a business card, and on the card it said who you were and what you did. And I think if I had a business card, I would like to think that it said on it, Stephen, a servant of Jesus Christ. So you can see there, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart from the gospel of God. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you. James, a servant of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Simeon, Peter, a servant and apostle of Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ. Judah, servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. Of course, in the Old Testament, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. By the way, I didn't want to tire you. There's a lot more. That is just a short sample of what Scripture has to say about being a servant. You don't need me to expound what that means. It basically means we operate the Lord's instructions, not our own. And we should spend our time seeking to do His will. Here's the flock. You can see the shepherd. He's actually got a dog. You can see that there's one sheep starting to wander off. That does happen in Cheltenham. It may not happen among you brothers and sisters, but we have one or two sheep that wander off and we need to go and bring them back. So Peter said, so I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. We've all seen issues in churches with those kind of things. Very sad. So I'm going to talk about this in 2 ways. Working together in session. And then I have a couple of charts at the end working together in presbytery, because the truth of it is we spent most of our time in sessions. So I'm going to try to talk a little bit about that. And I think these pictures are reasonable, brothers. Hopefully you don't feel too bad about them. But so this is my beloved brothers here, Andy, Doug, myself and our brother Chris, who isn't here because Julie's sister's got a terminal illness and they're looking after family responsibilities. But there's a wonderful verse there at the top. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. A promise, isn't it? See, Andy's got his hair combed and everything's really good. This is our church family. This is actually a few years old. But the lady on the front, she's now 97, still regularly in attendance. It's a wonderful thing. So these are the sheep that the Lord has made us responsible for. I want to talk a little bit about pastoral work. I think the first thing to say about the pastoral work is that to the Lord's sheep, he's the good shepherd, and he's laid down his life for these sheep. If you look at the sheep, they're all different. I think there's no two of them exactly the same. There's even one or two black ones there and among them, and no doubt one or two lame ones, and there seems to be one wandering off over there on the left. One of my favourite verses, favourite passages of mine, is the 21st of John, the public restoration of Peter. And you can see there the charge that given to Peter when he was restored after his public sin. When they'd finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." That's our charge too, brothers. Tending and feeding. Acts 20 tells us to be careful to ourselves and to all the flock, which the Holy Spirit has made us overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. You might think it's strange that I put this 1 Timothy 5 verse in at the top there. This verse spoke to me recently. A lady of 80 years of age had a lot of needs in the church, and I don't mean to embarrass Brother Andy, but Andy was extremely good to her in a whole lot of areas. And the truth of it was, she treated Andy very shabbily on a number of occasions. And I was doing a visit with her, and I wasn't well pleased, and I was going to tell her what I thought, fairly straight, being frank. Anyway, the Lord dealt with me in this verse as to how to rebuke an older woman. Rebuke her. My mum's nearly 90 now, and she's a very fine Christian, but there are times when you might have to have a quiet word in her ear. And the Lord spoke to me from that verse as to how to interact with folk. He was gracious to me, and I have a good relationship with that woman, and she's not perfect, but she's a beloved sister. Ezekiel 34 is a passage that gives us great warnings about basically being faithful. And you can see there, I'm not going to read it all out, but basically the charge is that the shepherds don't feed the sheep, they haven't strengthened the weak, they haven't healed the sick, they haven't bound up the injured, they haven't brought back the strayed, they haven't looked for the lost, and with force and harshness they've ruled them. It says then, "My sheep were scattered." And the Lord says, "Behold, I am against the shepherds." Let it never be that we are in that category, brothers. It's a serious thing. A little bit about the pastoral work. It's a team effort, and we're all involved, supported by our wives, as appropriate. We don't have any deacons, and that's a matter for prayer. We do have several young men that we think are suitable, and God's time hopefully will be. So there's times when we do things that deacons would normally do. But we do work together on a daily basis. Our brother Chris has kind of dragged us into the recent century or two. We have an app now where we can communicate with each other. This may be old hat to some of you, but it wasn't to me, okay? And so we can send a message to everybody, and to be frank, there's still communications go around about needs or about things for prayer and all these kind of things. And we share the work with all elders and wives engaged. You might say, well, who does it? Well, it's based on all sorts of things: the urgency, the availability, the best placed, knowledge, friendship, availability, whether it's just an elder that's needed, whether a wife's needed with the support of an elder, whether an elder and a wife are both needed, and whether it's long-term, short-term. All those things come into who actually
might be the people that are doing it. In case you think we haven't many pastoral issues to deal with, at the start, and I was at the church from the first prayer meeting, for quite a few years we didn't have many pastoral issues. That may be because we didn't know what was going on. I'm not sure, but we certainly do now, and this is just a list of them. I wouldn't want to get into too much detail on them, but if you have a question, I would try to answer it for you. But basically, Andy and Davinia mostly do the marriage preparation. A number of us do marriage counselling where it's needed. We've had anxiety and loneliness. PTSD is a particular type of illness. I was talking to Bill about it yesterday. It's something that was recognised in the army. But we've had a brother that was very seriously ill with that. What I've called relationship issues. So if, for example, a young woman was in a friendship with a young man who was hopeful that it would develop and it hasn't. And she's getting support. Serious illness and bereavement. We have a lady with Alzheimer's. We've been dealing with substance abuse problems and also with pornography. We did have a woman who came to the church for a short time and did try to commit suicide. We wouldn't really want to say too much more about that, but the elders put a lot of work in on that whole family. And there was a woman that got into sexual sin who we were not able to correct, and it resulted in discipline. She wouldn't listen to the elders. And the woman that wasn't very nice to Andy, Andy fixed her bicycle for her, among a bunch of other things, and she wasn't very grateful. Just in case you think we don't get involved in the ministry, I do. When she got the bicycle out of the car, she went off and didn't even say thanks to him, which I was not happy with. Part of our role, of course, is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. It shouldn't all be up to us, and we need to see people growing in grace. And so he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. And there's gifts that differ according to the grace given us. Let us use them. Prophecy, proportioned to our faith, service and our serving. One he teaches in his teaching, the one he exhorts in his exhortation. The one he contributes in generosity, the one he leads with zeal, and the one he does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. This is our sister Priscilla, and she's on the missionary trip that we do annually to a church in Romania. And she was a real revelation. She's probably in her 50s. She lives on her own. And she was wonderful on that trip. She was a real inspiration to us, the way she served the Lord in so many ways. There she is. She's made a cup of tea for somebody that's doing something, and she's bringing it. And that's not the first door, by the way. She's brought it up the stairs, so she's made a bit of an effort. That's just an example. What about the church that we serve? Well, the Lord has been gracious to us in that to a very large extent we're united. We haven't had people leave due to splits or things. It's not up to us, it's the Lord that does it. But we've got a lot of diversity in age. I think we've 5 or 6 babies now, less than one. But we've got this lady who's 97. We've actually now got 16 nationalities coming to the church. A man from Malawi has come recently, so that's our 16th. We've got diversity in background, and we've got diversity in education and social things. You have to be aware of dangers. Dangers of racism, if you like, within the church. Age, inappropriate thinking, or social prejudice. And also the danger of an inner circle. You may not think that happens in churches, but it does, and I've seen it. And it's not a pleasant thing. People that are on the periphery, for whatever reason. Those that are in the circle. The church I'm thinking of, it was social distinctive. If you had a good job, lived in the right part of town and all like that, you were part of the inner circle, and if you didn't, you weren't. And it's simple. And it does happen, and you need to watch it. This, by the way, was not an NPCW church, let me just say. Because I don't want to in any way offend a brother or sister. But it does happen, and it's simple. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." We reach out to everybody, but The Lord has brought many people from ethnic backgrounds. It's a wonderful thing. We'd love that we could reach more English people, to be frank, but we reach out to everybody. Mm-hmm. Who the Lord brings, he brings. And this talks, of course, about partiality with regard to worldly things. This man with a gold ring comes in and he gets a great welcome. Shabby man comes in and he doesn't. Very sad. Brothers and sisters, it does happen. Again, not in our denomination, but I've seen it. By the way, these are faithful churches these things happened in. These were not churches that didn't preach the gospel. Biblical perspectives, brothers and sisters, on working together in a session. These are personal reflections and the things that I think are important. By the way, I'm telling you what I aspire to, not what I am. You need to understand that. So these are things I believe to be important, but they're not things that I believe I've achieved. Love one another. Encourage one another and build one another up. Brothers, there's always people in the church who pull down and criticize. The word of session is to build up. The word of session is to build up. Developing new ministers, wonderful thing. The Lord calls a new servant, something that we have been able to do over years, and it's a wonderful thing. Bear one another's burdens. There's two aspects to that. We have to be prepared to tell a brother or sister that we actually have a burden and we're struggling with it, and then another brother or sister needs to grab the end of the burden and help, don't they? Count others more significant than yourself. The truth of it is there's pride in all of us. And we need to keep reminding ourselves. As far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. There's not that many things that's worth falling out with a brother about. That's the truth. And you need to really think about that. Let not the sun go down upon your anger. In other words, if you've been rude to somebody, apologize that day, be it your wife, a brother, or whatever. Or if you feel that you've done something that you didn't feel comfortable about later, apologize and move on. I used to do that in work occasionally. I managed a lot of people. Very occasionally I offended somebody. If I did, I went back and I made it up and we moved on. That's the way you need to do in church too, and the sooner you do it, the better. Forgiving one another as God and Christ forgave you. It's a very serious thing. If you don't forgive a brother or sister, Scripture says the Lord won't forgive you. It's not a small thing. Recognizes the Lord's church and his sheep, and we're unworthy. We're dealing with the Lord's sheep. We're not just dealing with people. And we should try to have a presence and witness in the community. I was at a General Assembly recently, I'll not say which denomination, but one of the things that they talked about that they have recognized is that some of their churches have no witness in their own community. This is their assessment of themselves. I don't want to say who it was, it wouldn't be helpful, but some we need to think about. Do we have a witness in our own community? Seek consensus. I used to be a boss in a fairly large company and I could make change, but I might end up being the only one that thought it was a good idea. So that's not how you should trade and change, brothers and sisters. So try to do it with consensus. To be accepting too of necessary change. The Lord's building his church, and by necessity that means there's going to be change. If you think there isn't, well, that's, you're standing in the way of the Lord building the church. We should seek fellowship with other faithful local churches. And we should share the work among each other. Dangers. Brothers and sisters, the psalmist sinned. The Lord forgave him, but guess what? It had huge ramifications on his family. Sin is a very serious thing. And we should not think that we're immune. If we do, we're a fool. Lack of balance and commitment, very serious thing too. I've quoted there Ezekiel 34. Obviously, we need to watch for error. Thankfully, it's not actually something that I've come across. So I've gone to faithful churches and the gospel was preached and men believed the truth. But it's a danger of a no change mentality. You know, there's actually people in churches that say, well, it'll be okay in my day because I'm 85 and I'll go to be with the Lord in 5 years, and I know we're not doing any outreach, but you know. No local witness. Inappropriate deference to academic attainment. This is something that some writers talk about, and there's a danger in the church that if somebody's got a doctorate or a master's degree or wherever it happens to be, that In some way, that gives them extra wisdom over a brother or sister who might not have that. I've quoted just the passage about the disciples that our Lord called. Our Lord could have called anybody, but the men he mostly called were not academic people. And he obviously did it for a reason. Avoidance of discipline, 1 Corinthians 5, is a very serious thing. It's not easy to discipline somebody, but their time comes when you do it, because it's needed. Corinthians didn't, and it was a serious thing. Happened to Saul, megalomania and pride. Probably remember some of the brothers wanted to be top dog among the brothers. And we shouldn't think that we're immune to that. And then 1 Kings 8, 19, 1 to 8, burnout. Our Lord used to tell the disciples to come aside and rest a while. Same thing holds true for us. One of the things we need to do is watch out for each other, because brothers that are committed can sometimes feel it's all up to them, and of course it isn't ever all up to us. It's the Lord's work. If we were called home tomorrow, the Lord would raise up somebody else to do it. It's His work, not ours. Hospitality. That isn't my house, by the way. It's, you're always welcome to visit Audrey. What does it say? It says that an overseer is to be hospitable. You can do that in a whole bunch of ways. You can do it at your own home. You can have people stay. You can have people for meals. Or you can be hospitable in a coffee shop. People are well aware, I'm hospitable in the Carvery. I meet up with people for breakfast or for lunch or whatever. There's all sorts of ways you can do it. There's appropriateness in the various ways. We should do it. And really, there is no excuse. We need to make the effort. It means a lot when you're hospitable. It's not a small thing. Here's our brother. This is our new thing. It's not that new now, Andy, I don't think, but we were quite proud of it when we did get it. Here's Andy. And this is to do with preaching and teaching. Primarily, it's Andy and Doug. Chris preaches sometimes. I take videos and such like, and I preach occasionally at other churches when they need help. So we all take part in that. And this is our Sunday service. You can see Andy up at the front there. Andy's currently on sabbatical. The Lord's continuing to bless. Last week we had 95. I had to bring extra chairs in for people to sit on. We had 10 people away, so that would have been 105 if they were all there. So we actually have a project to kind of rearrange things a bit to create some more space and to actually give the place a bit of a facelift. So God willing, we'll be getting that going. The Lord's been good. We've had 4 American service families claim this in, the last 6 months, Andy? Something like that. It's a wonderful thing. Andy'd been praying for some to come, and then 4 came. We're going to have to buy more chairs, I think. It's a good problem. Do we welcome people? I'm sure you do. This is our brother, Alan, who's 76, welcoming people arriving. We take it in turns with a rota, and different people do it. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Not a small thing either, is it? Have you ever been on holiday and you went into a church and you didn't really get much of a welcome, and when you were there and you were leaving, nobody really spoke to you very much? And it was faithful, right? People, you know. But if you hadn't been a Christian, you wouldn't have been that impressed. In fact, you probably weren't impressed anyway, but you didn't like the same. This is our brother Doug. We're very proud of him. Doug is doing great. Wonderful to see. And you know, the members voted unanimously to call Doug to come. And he came prior to that and he talked at the prayer meeting about how much he'd still got to learn, particularly in pastoral things. It was wonderful to hear. Real humility. And he got a unanimous vote to call him to come. It's great. It's been lovely to see him grow, and you know, God willing, he'll be ready for a call now, and pray that the Lord will lead him and guide him. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. I quoted Matthew 25, "Well done, good and faithful servant, you've been faithful over a little, I will set you over much." That's not meant in any way to demean what Doug's doing. What it's meant to get at is that You grow somebody by giving them pass and allowing them to grow, and you don't chuck them in the deep end of the swimming pool and see them run along the bottom. That's not development. You know, you start them in the shallow end with some support, and then you work from there. You make them a success. And it's a wonderful thing with David with us before that. And it's wonderful to see the Lord blessing new men. Wonderful thing. Sorry, but I didn't need to embarrass you. It's either hay or better. And here's Doug's installation and ordination, and Brother Ian and Brother Peter, and Doug's mum and dad sitting behind there. It's great to see it. So we've had, this will be our 10th year, we've had a missionary interest in Romania, a Presbyterian church in Mangalia, in Romania. Mangalia is on the Black Sea coast. It's only just a few miles from Bulgaria here. And it's a missionary of the Presbyterian Church of Brazil. Pastor Gilberto was there. This is him in the foreground. And he's been there now about 17 years, something like that. This is our team from last year. The Durham brothers and sisters can recognize my daughter Rachel on the left-hand end there. And this is our brother Alan, who's 76. He's actually made it his last trip. He's not really well enough to go again, but... you can see Doug has got a nice suntan from painting outside, among all the other things that we have on doing. The temperature's about 30 degrees, so we had a great time. And do you know what Pastor Gilberto says? The most important thing we do is go out there and have fellowship with them and show love. Now, we do all sorts of things. We paint and we take meetings and we run a holiday Bible club. Sometimes we arrive. On one occasion, we were told, can you run a holiday Bible club starting tomorrow morning? And 50 kids came, and we had nothing ready, and we weren't expecting it. The Lord was gracious, and it was good. He ministers to quite a disadvantaged section of the community, including gypsy people. And the unemployment there is 25%, so people are very needy. And last year, I think we have teams between 6 and 12. I think we had 8 last year. You can see the mixture of people there, and the Lord blesses us. And it's wonderful. Audrey and I are signed up again for this year, and we're with a number of other folk interested, so pray the Lord will bless it once again. This will be the 10th year. It's been wonderful. Andy started some church planting work in Oxford with the Reformed Confession Study Group, and I think Andy, the last number I saw was 14 or other. So it's wonderful, and Andy's teaching the confession in an interactive way and in an informal setting. So please remember that in prayer. You probably, those of you that have been around Presbytery know that we've tried to plant there before without success. So ultimately we have to pull the work. So Oxford's not an easy place, but it's a very needy place. We've had people actually came to us from Oxford, which is an honor because of difficulties in some of the churches there. So faithful people too, people that had insight. It wasn't just no reason. Your brother David here? That's okay. I'm not going to say anything bad about him. It's a privilege to work with David. That's the truth. Faithful man. David took a call from 5 or 6 seniors to work when there were other churches interested in him. He went there because the Lord called him to be there. A number of the brothers and sisters that called him have gone to glory, but the Lord's brought new brothers and sisters, which is wonderful. Now, this David on the left here, on the right is Betham, and they've started a children's choir. Andy knows all about this because his girls are part of the choir. But it's an outreach into the community. David's on, the Lord has put us on the south side of Cheltenham in a very well-to-do area. It's the truth. And I swear the Lord led us to be. David is on the different side of town, on the other side of the tracks, you might say. So he's in a disadvantaged area with high unemployment and all like that. And he's reaching out, and one of the ways they're doing it is this little choir. And it fills the church when the choir do a concert with mums, dads, grannies, and all sorts of people coming along to hear it. Bethan is extremely capable of it. I mean, this is an example of the Lord expects you to use the talents in the church that he's given you. He doesn't expect you to use the talents that he didn't give you. Then he wants you to run a modern toddler group and provide somebody to do it. I was talking to some of the parents today, or yesterday. I'm a big believer that the Lord will give you talents, and then you use them. And you shouldn't bemoan the fact that you haven't got a talent to do something. Do the things the Lord has given you a talent to do. And Bethan has got a tremendous talent for this. And when David raised at the session, we were more than happy. In fact, we all rejoiced. I got an invite to go along, as you can hear. And it does your heart good. That's the truth. Now, not every church can do that. You need somebody that's got the talent to do it, but Bethan does without doubt. And this is the worship service. And we provide coverage and support for David. David is a faithful brother. And it's a great encouragement to be part of supporting David. Chris and Julie are leading our international student work. Now, we've had student ministry for about 7 or 8 years. We had originally young ladies from MTW came and did outreach among the Christian Union. And in recent years, Chris and Julie have had a real heart for international student work. To be frank, it's more encouraging now than it's ever been, partly due to their hospitality and their closeness to the students. And it's a lesson to us that age isn't important in these things, it's love that's important. They have students over to their house. We've had a Japanese girl come in recently to church. Chris has actually got her a Japanese-English Bible. And she has no Christian background at all, but she's coming to hear the word. So pray for that work. This was a pizza evening. You can see a few of us oldies dotted around in there as well. We went along to help, but a real good turnout of students. And then Doug has been leading Bible studies on campus as well among some of the students. So this is an important ministry, but I think, in my opinion, it needs dedication, and Chris and Julie are doing that. If you have a feeling you could do more in that area, please talk to Chris. Because I know what he's doing, but you know much better to talk to Chris about it, or Julie. It's good for a husband and wife, really, to be doing it. Fellowship's important. You can do it in all sorts of ways. We have a lunch monthly. And this is the lunch all set out here, and we all eat together. And it's a chance to chat to people, and you can pick up things where brother or sister struggling and all like that. So that's good. Doug arranges our annual canoe outing. If you don't have a river to canoe on, then obviously this doesn't work. But you do get a really nice cooked breakfast after the canoe outing, which seems to encourage participation as well. But we go to a local cafe, and we get a... How many do we have? 20 or something, Doug?
Yeah, good number.
Yeah. So it's on the River Wye. So probably... Only maybe the Cardiff churches could really participate in this, in addition to ourselves. But it's really good, and we enjoy it. It's a great time of fellowship. In addition to that, we have the famous monthly men's breakfast at Mel's Cafe. And it's okay as long as you don't want a healthy option. If you want a healthy option, it becomes more difficult. But we're actually studying the Westminster Confession of Faith. So it's more than just having a breakfast. And yet we get a turnout of 10 to 14 typically. I'll give you an idea. The ladies have a ladies' fellowship, which the elders' wives lead, or oversee. They don't always lead it. Somebody leads it, but they oversee it. And then we've started a recent thing, the Mother and Baby Bible Study. And our mother and toddler group, which was very traditionalist, eventually it sort of just withered and died. But the mothers came to us and said, we want to do this Bible study, and they're actually meeting and doing a Bible study together and supporting each other. And we're very happy about it because there's a number of really mature ladies among that group, and they're more than capable of leading it. And it's wonderful they're able to support each other. The children's work, this is Andy doing the children's talk. And he's brilliant at it, to be frank. And Doug's coming up fast on the rails, but he hasn't quite caught it, Andy, yet. But nevertheless, he's doing really well at it. Andy's a natural. And you do need a sense of humour, because one of the boys occasionally grabs Andy by the leg when he's giving the talk. So you do need the ability to interact with kids. But it's good. And then you can see the Sunday school over here. And Andy, in recent years, started a thing called the Jam Club and the youth groups. The Jam Club's for primary school children and the youth groups for the secondary age children. And you can see the importance of children's work in our Lord's statement there, let the children come to me, do not hinder them. To such belongs the kingdom. 5 or 6 years ago, we put in a creche with a link. so that mum's, this photograph's a little bit old now, because James is, I think he's about two. So this is James when he was 6 months, I think. But you can see Andy, must have been the summertime, he's got his jacket up. And, so this is now used by the ladies, you can, or the a parent can come out there. And it's really good. It cost about $5,000 to put in the link and all the sound and all that. It was well worth it. We did it at a time we didn't have any babies, so the Lord has blessed us with babies now. It gets a lot of use. Doug does the youth in the 20s and 30s. Here's a walk out in the Cotswolds. That was one of the slaughters, was it? So we're very fortunate. The Lord has blessed us and put us in a beautiful part of the country, but I happen to know this area as well, and there's loads of nice places around here, so there's every reason why you can do the same thing. You mightn't get just as much sun as us, but there's still loads of lovely places to go. Audrey and I have the seniors' work. Primarily, we look after that. And we do a bus sighting every year. We've just started working on that, but we go to a National Trust property or something like that, and we have tea, and we also have a buffet lunch. And this is our brother, Courtney. He's actually thanking us for the efforts we put in for it. Courtney's 80. He's more than 80 now, isn't he? Anyway, Courtney was born into a Jewish family in Germany and was one of the kids that was rescued. His whole family was wiped out. And the Lord saved him. And he's a retired Baptist pastor. He's a wonderful witness. He still preaches for us maybe a couple of times a year. It's fair to say he does it in the traditional fashion, as a man in his 80s does, but we love him. And he's a great witness. And this is prime time, second Saturday of the month. Audrey and I are just starting to get ready for that now. But we get the seniors to suggest hymns, and then I select the faithful ones from among the suggestions. One or two never seem to make the list for some reason, one of them I've done the short list. But there's one lady who gives me about 20 hymns, and we normally sing five, so I'm able to kind of select from what she gives me. But my daughter-in-law Megan did graphic design, and she comes up with these nice little designs. I've never designed anything really close to that. I don't know if you think about this, but this is a very important area. Protecting the minister and his family. My view is that the minister particularly and his family come under attack from the devil more than other brothers and sisters. For that reason, we need to be there for him. I'm not saying this particularly about Andy and his family. I'm talking generally. I've been, as I said, in a lot of churches. One or two pastors have talked to me about it, and they do come under attack from the devil. He tries to drag them down. You know, if nobody's been saved on a particular Lord's Day, one pastor told me that the devil used to tell him, after the evening service, nobody was saved again this week. Try to discourage him. Right? There's criticism. 99% of it's unwarranted. Right? That's the truth. We're there to be an encouragement. And sometimes the devil attacks the minister's wife. We've actually seen this recently. Davinia got criticized by a lady in the church for a lot of rubbish, to be frank. And the elders stood by and we sort of all out. But it wasn't her fault at all. Absolute rubbish. But this woman got quite strident about it. And so the devil can do these things, and we need to be aware of it, and we need to be there and deal with it. And not leave it necessarily to the minister to deal with it. If there's an issue, we should be in there dealing with it. I've seen this in quite a number of churches I've been to, where the minister or the minister's wife have been attacked in one way or another. It's a very sad thing. And sometimes attacked by people who should have known better. The place of older sermons, this is our brother. It's just, I've used this photograph because of his age. We need to respect them, learn from them, utilise their talents, but also encourage them to accept change. Right? So that's not always easy when a man gets to his mid-80s. But I reminded myself, and some of you know better than me, but what age was the Apostle John when the Lord brought him to write Revelation? He was certainly well past retirement age. 80 stroke 90 maybe in age, I'm not sure. But he certainly wasn't a young man. So we need to have the right attitude towards senior brothers, because you can see the Lord's attitude. Right, brothers, working together in the presbytery. This, I think, was the presbytery 2016. You can see Stephen there as moderator. and some of the learning brothers are speaking.
I'm not sure which one. It may have been a man from Cambridge there. Do you see the hair? Is that one of Cambridge Brothers?
All right, brothers. This is working together some biblical thoughts on presbytery. Be present. Pretty obvious. It's hard to encourage a brother if you're not there. In fact, it may actually be a discouragement, let's be frank. Get involved. People always may say that I use little sayings. Well, okay. If you're on the rugby team, you're just pushing the scrum. Right? If you're not pushing the scrum, why are you there? Right? Be honest. So if you want to go to the meeting, make a contribution. Right? It's not very useful if you go there like, a dummy from Burton's window. That's not a lot of use, right? Encourage all our brothers. Right? Brother may be having a hard time. He doesn't need you to give him a hard time. Encourage him. Rejoice and mourn. I remember a brother coming and telling us that the church plant he was doing had just over a period of months fallen apart, and his brother was in tears. It was terrible. We need to be there for these brothers. This isn't a recent thing. Some of you wouldn't have experienced this, but it wasn't funny. It's about a lot more than getting the business done. There's always a tab of things on it to get done, right? And I've been moderator, and I know that you're under pressure to push things through and all like this, but there's a lot more to it than getting the business done. It's about love. You need to keep that in mind. Creating consensus and respecting minority or contrary opinion. And so I'm talking about dwelling in unity. And there's always going to be somebody who has a minority opinion. And we do need to respect that and seek to take a brother with us where we can. And plan and manage and change in a way and at a speed that builds unity. We did that. Some of you know I was involved with the bringing in the new discipline work. And the truth of it was, the final document wasn't much different from the original one, but various good comments were made by brothers, and they were all built in to create consensus. And it's important. Be Catholic-minded. I mean, Revelation 7:9 talks about people from every tribe and tongue. Be careful with new people. We have had I wouldn't want to get into too much detail on this, but we had a new family came to us. And I don't want to say much more than that when we checked them out, we were extremely disappointed. And every church they'd ever gone through, there'd been huge issues that you would not believe. So when somebody comes, check them. Don't. This was actually an ordained man from another convent. And when we checked him out, he was wanting to come to the end of tender with us, and we crawled over for time what was the issues. As they say, there were more issues that needed to shave a stick up. And thankfully, he's moved on. Be very careful. This, you may remember where Paul shares with Timothy about Alexander the coppersmith, who had caused trouble. The truth of it is, we do need to take references and we do need to ask questions. I would say we also need to be prepared to tell the truth. And I don't mean that brothers tell lies, but if we're asked for a reference for somebody, it has to mean something. And that means anteing up. If there are some red flags, don't pretend there aren't. Support contacts with other faithful denominations. Take time to share and help other brothers. That's my last slide. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. That's the Lord. You're serving him. Maybe having a hard time. It's not in vain. I'm happy to field a question. Not that I have particular wisdom, but if there's something you want to ask, please ask. Yes, sir.
Occasionally, quite people quite range and stuff. You mentioned some good story, and you talked about how you relate together, right, as elders, yeah, and others. So you've got four elders, and I imagine, four of you bits, and about our own session, you probably be in agreement about most things. So, for example, you should be learning something from, and you might have some kind of agreement about. So maybe that makes discipline situation from that long ago. But on the probably all like because you don't constantly rush into something like that, but you've all had very different ideas about pace, you know, for example. So it's the execution of something. So you know what it should, you know what I'm saying? So you know what the problem is, you know what it should be, you know there are various steps in between. Mm. But to get the four of you to agree on all of those steps, this being those steps, we've got some wisdom about now, because often the things the mistakes are high as well.
What I would say is that there's a lot of situations where there's no right or wrong, right? You're right, generally in a session we're agreed about what needs to, but we may not agree about the pace of implementation. That's where graciousness comes in, and we seek to see the other grower's point of view. And at times I might want to move more quickly or more slowly than another grower, but if I don't see it as a principal issue, then I can give ground and we can come to a consensus view on it. And very few things are principal that we've ever had an issue over. And therefore we can reach a consensus view. And my opinion is not better than Andy's or Chris's or Joe's. There are occasions where I know more than I do, which is okay. But all I would say is that's where graciousness comes in. And you should be prepared to accept the other man's point of view to reach a consensus. And most of the time, particularly if you're being careful, most of the time, whether it's done this week, next week, or the following week, it's not critical. I don't know if that's helpful, Darren. But it's a matter, you know, if you love the other brother and you respect his opinion, then you should be prepared to be gracious and not push your own thoughts as being the only right way to do anything. There's always loads of ways of doing most things. And the other brother may have a very good point of view which you need to listen to and seek to reach a consensus. I think if you approach it like that, willing to be flexible, then it doesn't need to be an issue. But let's be frank, we've all got pride, so you need to be managing yourself appropriately. And if you behave inappropriately, apologise to everyone. You know, I'm not saying it should happen very often, but if you feel you did something that wasn't right, you need to go and apologise. And then both of you need to forgive each other and move on. I don't know if that's helpful.
Thank you, Stephen.